So I want to say some words about it's interesting, you know, how sometimes I have some plans of okay, this is what I'm gonna talk about, and then I, you know, show up and feel, you know, a sense kind of what is going on in the field, and have the joy to meet you all and see what happens. And so then when I start talking, it's completely different from what I was planning to talk about. So that may be the case tonight, though it will re it relates to what I was also planning to speak about. What I want to talk about tonight is the stability that we find in impermanence, how it is that we find stability in change. And it's kind of contradictory and confusing because, well, you know, change, it happens all the time. Even when we don't notice, it's happening. So as we were, you know, talking at the beginning of our time together here, it stayed in this mind heart, you know, what has been happening in my life in these past years. And there have been you know, several transitions, and they continue to be. And so, you know, all these different remembrances that life bring us, our conditioned nature of the nature of growing old, the nature of getting sick, and the nature of dying. You know, we can see those realities, and really our nature of this body. Not only within, you know, the humanity of our lives, but also in the natural world. We get reminded of it so many times in so many ways. And right now, you know, it's been happening with all the rains that have been happening and the fires, and what is present that, you know, it happened last week here. And it happened yesterday, and it's still going on the East Coast, the heavy rains. And so those kind of situations, there are some things that happen suddenly, you know, even though we can look at the weather, we can hear that, you know, there are going to be some events happening. And still, it is until that moment that it happens that suddenly we realize, oh, it is happening. You know, it's that felt direct experience of what life bring us in that moment that remind us that there is uncertainty and that it does change over and over again. And with that, just like Birgit was announcing the celebration of the dead, you know, just remembering, honoring those that have passed too. Fortunately, we have ways to point into those moments or bring, you know, our ancestors. In a way that reminds us that one way or another, they live here, they live in us. We will be ancestors of other beings too, at some point. So the stability in impermanence, the stability in change. And I want to share, you know, more from a direct and felt experience, mainly because of what is happening right now. As some of you know, as I was sharing at the beginning, after living a nomadic life for these past years, and you know, in having a moment, a possibility of considering settling, I became a full-time caregiver for both of my parents. And so within that change too, you know, there's also some stability that is needed also as a caregiver. So it's not like I was like looking for, oh, sure, there is stability in impermanence, but I needed to find something to give me some sense of constancy. I like that word that Gil uses, some kind of constancy, some kind of stability that reminds me that in spite of all the changes and all the benefits that bring all the changes, that there's some place where I can rest. A place where I can rest, a place where I can be at ease. And so I'm gonna say that the first quality that first quality that gave me the opportunity to start exploring stability in the midst of change was the faith in the practice, faith and conviction in the practice, because living a nomadic life, really going from one place to another and still having kind of an aspiration of practicing, of taking care of myself, of staying connected with dear ones. I remember, you know, getting emails or telephone calls, Bruni, where are you right now? In these past years, they send their friends, I hope you're okay, you know. But it just became, you know, like so normal at some point that I just, you know, just stop sending updates of where I was and all that. So that the stability of going into this place of there is a practice that supports us. There is a practice that once we taste the fruits of, you know, many moments of freedom, many moments of ease, that going back to the practice, because we know that it has value, because we know that teachers that we trust also share the teachings, and there have been some benefit. And then there's, you know, a sense of faith in the community, conviction in the community that, you know, this is not a practice just for myself, but really for everyone everywhere, especially when we start loosening that sense of self. So I'll get back to that later in the talk. So a sense of faith, a sense of confidence in the practice. And with that, there's also the conviction and confidence of taking refuge, you know, of having a refuge in the capacity of this mind heart to be free in the same way that the Buddha became free. This capacity of developing this practice, of recognizing what is wholesome and what is unwholesome. then the refuge of the teachings. And here, in terms of the teachings, the way in which the teachings show us the reality of things, how things are. And this is impermanence, is one of those teachings. You know, how nature changes, how there's rain today and there's sun tomorrow, how there's devastation today and in a month we see trees blossoming, flowers blossoming in the midst of it. So the Dharma, it shows us the truth of, you know, this nature. We are nature. The sense of being that tells us, you know, it's not about us only. You know, we're not someone independent in a vacuum. There is interconnection within all of us here, even though we don't know each other very much. I just got the pleasure to meet most of you. And I know you probably have been practicing at the same time I've been practicing. 7:30, I've been sitting at 7:30, you've been sitting here at 7:30. So we've been connecting one way or another. What an amazing thing. And so the Sangha, you know, it's really, I remember moments of loneliness and in the practice. And those moments have been when I have forgotten that it's not only about me. It's not only about me accomplishing freedom. It's also about you. It's also about you being really fully you, me being fully you, without clinging. That's the teaching of not independent self that has been so profound for me. You know, it doesn't have to be one thing or the other. But, you know, it can be something in the middle where I see, you know, I just can be Bruni. And sometimes that may also go. And there may be other times in which it's very useful to, you know, I cannot go home and tell to my mom, I'm not Bruni. It's like, what? It's like there's a way that doesn't play out well. It's like, no, mom, is, you know, being a daughter is an identity. No. So but there's wisdom within these teachings, and we recognize, you know, how to hold the teachings in a way that benefits and supports our freedom. And so there's also that stability. That stability as these processes that we are and that other things in the world are change and flow, there is a stability of, you know, remembering that there's a refuge, remembering that there's a place that you can go back. And that includes your own traditions in addition to your Buddhist practice. Everything that you are, too. There is a practice, a teaching that the Buddha gave to his son Rahula that I wanted to read to you at least one of the two or three lines. It applies to all the different, you may have heard this teaching is the five elements. But you know, how it is that we are earth, that we're fire, that we're water, that we are, let me see, space, that we are wind. And how it is that by also recognizing, you know, how it is that we can connect to nature in that way, that it supports us also in meeting impermanence. There's a support there. There's a wise view, right understanding. And so there have been many times, you know, in these past years and right now, that there have been, you know, pleasurable experiences and not so pleasurable experiences, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral experiences. And I just love this teaching that the Buddha gave to Rahula that says, the Buddha says to Rahula, Rahula, develop the meditation in tune with earth. For when you are developing the meditation in tune with earth, agreeable and disagreeable sensory impressions that have arisen will not stay in charge of your mind. Will not stay in charge of your mind. Just as when people throw what is clean or unclean on the earth is not horrified, humiliated, or disgusted by it. In the same way, when you're developing the meditation in tune with earth, agreeable and disagreeable sensory impressions that have arisen will not stay in charge of your mind. So now I'm shifting to this experience of taking care, giving care to my parents, and how handy this teaching has been. Because when we started the transition of being more at home, there were many moments of, oh my goodness, no, I cannot do this. And I will, you know, be in conflict with my parents, not understanding, you know, there is a transition also that they're going through. But everything was about me. Or about them. It was, you know, kind of not agreeing with many things, how things were done, or, you know, how to take care of some of their business, or, you know, food, or you name it, you know, different details. And so this teaching that the Buddha gave to Rahula, developed the meditation in tune with earth, in tune with water, in tune with fire, in tune with space, in tune with wind. I decided, okay, I'm gonna go into mom's room now. And I'm just gonna remember earth, wind, fire, space. And I will look at her, and I'm like, this is a person. This is a being. This is nature. This is earth. This is water. This is fire. This is space. And this body, this being, is earth, is water, is fire, is space, is wind. And if we would have a disagreement, say, Bruni, tune in to the earth. Tune in into the earth, you know. And like, no, there's this role. I'm clinging here to my role of daughter. And at some point, it became so painful to cling to that role of daughter that I continue practicing with the five elements. You know, it was like, okay, I just couldn't hold it anymore. It's like, okay, a person, just a person, just a person. And just, you know, seeing the vulnerability the vulnerability of our conditions, what were present, and seeing how things will change in every moment, very different, how life brings opportunities to come full circle with some of our relationships. So seeing that change right in front of my eyes, here it is, Bruni. Very different talking about it, planning about it, you know, being present for the care of them. But now it's here. Now it's here. So how you want to live these months? You know, how I want to show up. And at the same time, I was, you know, reflecting on that or thinking about those thoughts will come and go. I could see moments just coming and going, coming and going. It's like, I don't know for how long I may die before them. Who knows? We just don't know. So where is the stability again? Going back to the Dharma. Okay, there's Earth. And if I die, Earth will go back to Earth. Water will go back to water. Fire to fire. Space to space. The same with them. So this kept me out of trouble for a few days. And then I just, you know, as I said, talking about not independent self and okay, Bruni, this is what is here. What is being fully here and accepting all the wholesome qualities and not some wholesome qualities in this being heart mind. What is here? What's the clinging here in this sense of self now? That you want to tell your mother how to live now in these moments, you know. So very humbling. There are these teachings remind us that we are beginners, no matter how many years we've been practicing for. So this teaching of the five elements supports our practice in being with impermanence in that way. You know, just seeing the nature of things, seeing that we are nature too. And that in the same way, change happens in nature, change outside in the natural world. It happens in this body, mind, heart. We talk about the body, but I also see this mind changing. We think there is a thing, this mind, and with all these capacities, and it changes, changes all the time. Another teaching that has been very supportive in finding stability in impermanence has been the Brahmaviharas, the sublime abodes. These qualities of the heart that we can develop and that can become a support for us, metta, friendliness, loving kindness, benevolence, compassion, sympathetic joy, equanimity. It is hard sometimes. Gosh, it's just everything comes full circle. So I'm preparing dinner. No, I'm not hungry. I dare that. Nope, I'm not hungry. Or I didn't bring him what he wanted. You know, he saw an ad in the newspaper of, you know, something that, you know, kind of a new recipe on some restaurant or something. He wanted that. Oh, no, I don't want this. And I can feel the frustration. I can feel the like, ah, say that. You know, what? You know, this in just a little bit, just nope. And so practicing, you know, compassion and metta in that moment and just remembering, coming full circle, remembering when I was not eating, when I would do whatever I wanted. Now it's like coming full circle. Here you are. So, but just developing that sense of compassion, self-compassion, and compassion for them too. And so that, you know, I stay within the Eightfold Path, within that wise intention of developing kindness, developing compassion, and letting go of renunciation, that my way is not the only way. Letting go of that solidification, my way, my is the best. Very humbling. Very humbling. Also, I think that compassion in some ways really supports us in the cultivation of the precepts too. And going back to stability, going back to refuge, because there's this, you know, remembering non-harming, non-harming. For me, it's just like a, like one of these lights, traffic lights, non-harming. And part of that non-harming arises out of compassion. So stability, stability in the midst of change, stability in the midst of all. And so just remembering, you know, that as part of the teachings of impermanence, that even those moments of joy, those moments of frustration, those moments of anticipatory grief, those moments of gratitude are part of the arising and passing, arising and passing. Every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. Just different conditions, different types of food, different types of weather every day. The rising and passing of all conditioned phenomena in impermanence. And, you know, in some way, just to see that arising and fading away, that then, you know, help us get some kind of disenchantment and help us in, at least at me, for me, has helped me in just seeing how the clinging softens when I see that that change, you know, is here to, is happening all the time. There's a beauty in it. There's something beautiful in it. Because it has not been by my own will that I have taken a pause to really meet my parents where they're at, to really meet dear friends, other people, nature, where it is right now, very intimately. Once I get out of the way, wow, what a difference. I remember one time, maybe a year after I started to live, you know, in this way, in a nomadic way. I was trying to see until when it was going to last. You know, I'm like, well, okay, should I continue doing this? Or, you know, I was like so overwhelmed and agitated by not having the answer. Settling down was not the answer. I would feel the agitation. But not settling down also had agitation. And I was talking to Gil about this. I'm just assuming that many of you know who Gil Franzel is, but he's my main teacher. So I remember going to Gil with, you know, this dilemma, and he just told me, get out of the way. Stop steering the pot. Stop steering the pot. And I'm like, okay, okay. Very humbling again. Stop steering the pot. And for me, that was, okay, what is the next thing I need to take care of? And what is life bringing me right now? And what needs to be done out of wisdom and out of, you know, a compassionate heart? So the stability of impermanence, it includes many things, as I have been sharing with you. And I will end with maybe, you know, for me, what I have shared with you summarizes into these five invitations from Frank Otaseski. I learned these five invitations. He has a book now on five called The Five Invitations. They were the five precepts when I was a Zen hospice volunteer. And they support this stability also of impermanence. So I will, let me just read them to you. So the first precept invitation, welcome everything, push away nothing. Welcome everything, push away nothing. Meaning that even if it is like I was reading on that sutta on the five elements, even if it is, you know, pleasurable or not, pleasant or not, we don't have to like what is showing up. In fact, we can say, I don't like it. And we include that too. But just to be open, to welcome everything without having a war over if it is okay or not for it to be here. The second invitation, second precept, bring your whole self to the experience. And for me, this bringing your whole self to the experience, that was bringing myself, my whole self to the bedside. Is this aspect of the teaching of not self, that for me to let go of a solidified self, I have to be fully me. Just that acknowledgement of being fully me. So that then, you know, I just can be, instead of trying to do Bruni all the time and do, you know, Bruni in many ways, so different identities and that are okay as far as, you know, I don't cling to them. The third invitation, precept, don't wait. Don't wait. And this one is one that I keep practicing. Don't wait. I love what Frank says here. Patience is different than waiting. Here are the paramis showing up. The paramis, the perfections, patience being a common ground where we can stand in, you know, in the relational field. The fourth invitation, the fourth precept, find a place of rest in the middle of things. Find a place of rest in the middle of things. I love this one because no matter where I'm going now, I do feel that, you know, there's a sense of resting here in this body, mind, you know, here. There's some spaciousness, okay, in the middle of things, rest in the middle of things. Just resting, and then let the thinking softens a little bit. Just let something intuitive arising. I'm letting life telling me, okay, so what is going on here? What needs to happen now? And the last invitation and precept is, I love this because it reminds me Zen practice. Cultivate don't know mind. Cultivate don't know mind. You know, just being receptive, receiving a physical sensation, receiving a sound, receiving a thought, and let it just arise and pass. But to do that, you know, we have to be so here, intimate, present here, giving space and respect to what shows up. So I hope that this supports you or benefits you, your practice. And just to remember, you know, you may have other ways to find stability in the midst of all, in the midst of impermanence. Just right now, look at this. I'm gonna dissolve very soon from Zoom. I arose and I'm gonna pass very soon from here. So thank you so much. And may the benefit of your practice, may it benefit everyone without exception, everyone. May all beings be free. May all beings be happy. May all beings know peace. May all beings know peace.